Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and psychic medium Sherry. The show is about to begin. And here we are once again for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I, as always, am Jason Ophir, joined with the beautiful and talented psychic medium Sherry. It's been a while since I've been on, taking some time off, living life and doing all that good stuff. But Sherry, how are you doing?
Good. Very, very good. Life is good. I've been redecorating. So, yeah, I've just been kind of moving energy and just kind of clearing everything out as much as possible. So that's what I'm doing. It's really cool.
Well, cool. Well, we were talking a little bit before we came on, and I have a lot to talk about. So if you want me to just start going like a freight train and talking about what I got to talk about, I can do that. Unfortunately, it's not going to be a whole lot of paranormal, just stuff that's been going on because I haven't been on in several weeks, and things are... Boy, I just have a lot to talk about. I don't even know if I can remember everything I plan to talk about, but if you give me the go, and I'll start with my first thing.
Absolutely. Go for it. Yeah, there's so much to talk about, and it's wonderful. So, yeah, go for it.
So, subject number one. This is I have to tell you, Sherry, right now I kind of feel like a jackass, and let me explain why. So, when I was young, prior to graduating high school, I don't know, maybe 16, 17. I went to a boarding school in Northern California, and I've mentioned it in the past because that's where a lot of the UFO stuff happened, and that was kind of where I became initiated in the paranormal, where I started to think about UFOs and aliens and psychic and all that kind of stuff. And so I went there. It was run by, well, let me first describe it to you. If you could imagine going to school at a summer camp, that's essentially what it was. That's what it was. It was the students there live in cabins by themselves or with one other person, and it's at an actual summer camp. So, you know, you do your classes. It's got a river that ran through it and canoes and all that. And it was a dining hall and everything, and it was totally awesome. I found a lot of Indian artifacts, and it was, I would say, one of the highlights of my childhood, and that's where I started to see weird things in the skies and have a lot of, not a lot, but had some weird stuff happen out there. But the reason I feel like a jackass is because fast forward 20-some years, I was doing some research on the school, and I came across a forum. Now, the school moved after I was there, so it was no longer at a summer camp. It was still at the same vicinity, but it moved to a retreat, which I had visited a couple times. Nice, but there's no water throughing it. It was kind of on this hill thing, heavily treed, and stuff like that. And I found this website, a forum of people talking about it. The school at that time became defunct. It was there for several years, and the forum was from people, an organization or a retreat that had subsequently taken over that location. So the schools no longer exists, and these people were doing kind of a history of this location and talking about, you know, the school that was there and the people that were there, and they were kind of disparaging it. An interesting side note, when I did go to school there, they were very new age, and we would do all sorts of meditation and a bunch of weird shit. But anyways, this forum was talking about this school and saying just really bad things about the people that ran it. A man by the name of Robin and his wife, Donna. And when I was young, they were older. So they have to be in their mid to late 80s now. And they were, so I set them straight. I sent an email because one of the things that I was confused about was they were saying there were rumors of, and that were suggestive of some sexual improprieties from the people that ran the place, Donna and Robin. And I was like, what? No. When I was there, I never saw anything like that, never saw anything inappropriate. When I had went to the school at the original location, it was co-ed, and there was just never any weird thing. And I was very close with them. I would go visit even when I, you know, graduated and hung out there and slept there. And never in a million years had I ever seen or heard anything weird along the lines of pedophilia or any inappropriate behavior. So now you fast forward to yesterday. I'm on Facebook, you know, the ultimate government spying machine, trying to find the profiles of people that I went to school with and Donna and Robin. And so I can't find anything, but through my amazing PI investigative skills, I tracked down Robin to a town close to where the school was located. And to my surprise, it was a news article and a mugshot. And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it right now. Authorities arrest child molestation subject. Man was foster parent, substitute teacher. I'm like, what? This is the guy that was the director of the school. And if you're interested, I'll read the short article.
Yes, please do.
I won't say the location, but it's a man working many years as a teacher and more recently was a substitute teacher has been arrested in a child molestation case involving a foster child. Authorities arrested Robin, I'm not going to say his last name, 84, not going to say the location, on Wednesday evening for committing lewd and lascivious acts with a 14-year-old victim, according to Sergeant Pollich. Pollich said Harris had been a school teacher since 1963 and most recently a substitute teacher in, I'm not saying the location, so this is kind of broken up a little bit. Harris was a foster parent to the victim when the incident took place. So apparently that's kind of old to be a foster parent, but whatever. The victim alleges that Robin would provide alcohol and cigarettes in exchange for sexual favors. Do you even have a libido in your mid-80s? Wow. I'm reading it here. Nobody has come to report any of the victims. He was booked in the county jail on felony charge of lewd and lascivious acts with a child 14 years old or younger, and his bail was set at $75,000. Anyways, I was surprised. I had no idea.
Okay, can I say something? I got to say something here. Okay, so listen to you. Listen to the story. It may be true, but it may not be true at all. So, you know, they're going to have to really find out about things like that because sometimes, and I'm not saying that it may not be, it's a possibility that he could be guilty, but is there that other possibility of, you know, when you're looking at a child, you know, especially if they don't get their way, whatever their background is or whatever, now I'm just saying the foster parents are actually doing the, they turned them in? Is that what it is?
You're doing the what?
The foster parents turned them in?
No, the child.
Oh, the child. Okay, and how old was the child?
14.
You have to look at both sides. Is that true, or can it not be true? Is this child... And I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying that at all. But is there a possibility, is this child has an agenda and wants to get these people in trouble? I don't know. I'm just saying that, you know, you can't be one side. You have to look at both the facts and everything else. Look at the mental stability of that child and if, you know, what kind of background, how they're raised. There's so many factors in whether that child is being honest or not. I don't know. Okay? Sorry. I had to put that in.
Well, And that's a good point, because we don't know the situation. We don't know if there's mental illness involved with the child, or like you said, they had an agenda. And unfortunately, in the society that we work at, any accusation will usually get you arrested and booked. It's not innocent until proven guilty. You're guilty until you're proven innocent. And there are many cases of people that had accusations against them, and they ended up doing just enormous amounts of time, or the death penalty, that ended up being innocent. So yes, it could be totally false, but nevertheless, yeah, weird. But I was surprised. And then I would say it's probably likely to be true, but of course there is a chance that it's not. Anybody can say whatever they want in this world, just like you can sue anybody for any reason, literally, and cause people a lot of grief for made-up bullshit.
Yeah, and just got to watch your back. I mean, it's terrible how things are the way they are. You know, like you said, you're guilty unless proven innocent, instead of the opposite around, you know. But, you know, it could be that these people were very, these adults were very, very guilty on doing these things, and they were probably in cahoots with each other and taking advantage of this young gal. You know, it could be very well. So, you know, we don't know about those things, but we hope that, you know, the truth will be served and will be, you know, the truth will be, you know, apparent.
Absolutely. So now the second thing on my list, this is a little bit of a bigger one, that was just kind of a blip on my radar, was a few weeks ago. Now, I don't know if the listeners are aware, I've mentioned it a few times, even posted some stuff on our Facebook page, but I'm very much into virtual reality video games. You wear the headsets, totally immersive. It's awesome. I don't know that I could live without virtual reality. I was sitting playing a few weeks ago in my chair, and somebody tapped me on the top of my head. And so I take my headset off, I turn around, and no one's there. And I'm like, what? Like, it was distinct. It wasn't like a little muscle twitch on the top. I don't even think you can twitch on your top of your head. Maybe you can. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But it was somebody tapped me on the top of my head, and I was like, well, that's weird. Now, we have talked about in the past of the apparition that was spotted in my place. So I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe it's just the ghost that's passing through or whatever. So the week goes on, and I'm on Facebook, and one of my best friends of over 20 years apparently had passed away, and I was like, what? And so it got me thinking that this man, he was 50 years old, apparently he just dropped dead, and he was healthy too. I would have thought that I would have died long before he did, because I am obese and have lived a very unhealthy lifestyle, but he just dropped dead, and I was shocked, because this was a guy that I worked with at multiple retailers. We were in the same band together. We were in the same paranormal group. We started the same paranormal group together. And I hadn't been in, we'd camp all the time and just have all these great, crazy stories. Well, he ends up dropping dead, and I was just shocked. I think he was the closest person I've ever been with that died. So that was just like a total mind bender. I just couldn't understand it. It came out of left field. But he was such a prankster. He was constantly pranking people. And then I connected the dots, and I was like, oh, you know, what if that was him tapping me on my head? I would like to believe that, because I do think that, you know, if there was some afterlife, that I would be eventually one of the people he would pay a visit to. And so I was just shocked. I mean, a guy in his 50s, married, with a kid, just drops dead, presumably of cardiac causes, which is like my greatest fear. I just Yeah. If I'm going down, it's probably going to be from my heart.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, I was just blown away by that. Like, I mean, it really makes one question their mortality when somebody close to you dies. That's young. Now, if you're, you know, your parents are like 90 years old and they die, you kind of expect it. They've lived a long, hopefully good life, and they die. But somebody that's in their 30s, 40s, 50s is just like, wow, what is happening? You know what I mean?
That's true. Wow. And how old was he again? 50?
50.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And he was living a healthy lifestyle. I mean, he was hiking all the time and outdoors. He was a smoker at one time, but so was I. But he had quit, I don't know, a decade or more earlier. And he wasn't, you know, a heavy drinker. He wasn't a drug user. And I guess when it's your time to go, it's your time to go.
Yeah, that sounds like it to me. When your time is to go, it is. Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow. So they did an autopsy, or they figured what he died of?
I don't know. I didn't want to, like, you know, disturb his wife with questions and stuff like that. And there's no service probably till this whole COVID thing goes. But the story actually does not end there.
Uh-oh.
So a week ago, now let me say that I always have weird dreams. Like, my dreams are weird. But I had a very interesting dream with him. And that also is making me question whether or not we can communicate with people in the afterlife. Now, I'm Captain Skeptic and everything, but this one really made me wonder. Like, this threw me for a loop, and it was a dream. But we were either going somewhere, I want to say, almost like a camping trip, but we were, like, still in town, like a rural town and everything. And I walk up to him, and I say, you know why I'm here, right? And he looks at me, and he kind of looks down, sad, and he says, yeah. And then he starts to cry, and then I get all emotional, and I think I gave him a hug. And the impression that I got was I had just visited him to kind of help him move on, because it was like he knew he was dead, but like he hadn't accepted it. And I was just there to kind of validate, say goodbye, and say, you know, you're dead. That just creeps me out thinking about it, because I've never had a dream like that. And then,
that's,
you know,
strange. That sounds like a visitation to me.
Yeah, visitation that I initiated is the impression that I got. And, you know, the dreams after that just went straight to the weird dreams I normally have. And it was like, it was just weird. And it just got me thinking, maybe probably just a dream, but there was something different about it that just kind of, it was weird.
Crazy. Well, it sounds like to me, yeah, you had some kind of visit from him, or he's letting you know that he's okay, and, you know, you crossed him over, or you helped cross him over, or, you know, he could be at peace and everything. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, I definitely visited him. He didn't visit me. I definitely, somehow, on subconscious spiritual level, assuming it wasn't a dream, which probably was, but that I was able to, in my energy self, find out where he was and just kind of help him realize, you know, what had happened. Just makes me feel weird thinking about it, because I think about all the times we went camping and all the goofy stuff. Like, one time we were camping and he just got really drunk. He was throwing up. It was coming out of all ends, like squatting against a tree and just his both ends of him were a faucet, you know, and just all the fun times with the band and everything else.
That's too bad. Well, geez. What's his first name? I'm curious. What's his first name?
Adam.
Adam? Well, okay.
Yeah, so that was interesting. That kind of gave me a little heebie-jeebies, the dream, and then the tap on the head. And as I'm saying this, I'm looking over my shoulder expecting to see a ghost. Now, the other thing, the last thing I think I had, or at least the last main thing that I wanted to talk about, was this COVID shot situation up here in Oregon, where they are mandating inoculations for healthcare workers, which I am a healthcare worker. I no longer have any, well, I'm not involved in patient care, but I kind of am, but not really. But you know, up here in Oregon and probably many places in the United States, they're saying healthcare workers, you basically better get your shots or you're fired, is what they're saying. So they have an exemption process, you know, medical exemption and religious exemption. I filed an exemption. I'm not going to specify which type. But it seemed like the organization had received, or I was told had received, just, you know, probably thousands of exemptions. And the way they evaluate that is with a panel of people to say, you know, represented by everyone, and then it's depersonalized, so they don't know who is submitting the exemption, but you write a letter or submit medical documentation that says you shouldn't get the shot, and I'm waiting, so I did that, I'm waiting and waiting and waiting, and my COVID deadlines are getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and then I get to the point where now, no matter what I do, even if I get the shot, I'm going to have paid time off at work. So I can't go to work until basically I'm totally inoculated because I haven't received a response to the exemption.
Wow,
so,
really? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just, this one, I kind of am an anti one, but needless to say, I hadn't heard anything, so I had to pull the trigger. I mean, I need a job. So
yeah.
I eventually did. You know, I'm still going to miss some work. But I was presented with an option of which one to get. So the options were Pfizer or Johnson & Johnson. Now, if I got the Johnson & Johnson, I would miss no work. But the more I look into both those vaccines, the more it's like more of the same kind of thing. You have your mRNA, which, you know, injects the genetic into your system or whatever, and then your cells produce the spike protein, and you supposedly build immunity to that. There you have the Johnson & Johnson, which is a viral vector vaccine, which uses a deactivated adenovirus with DNA. So they inject you with DNA, and then your body produces a spike protein, both of which sound absolutely horrid to me, to have your body create essentially a pathogen to build immunity to. But I was leaning towards the Johnson & Johnson shot, just one shot and done, but I had talked to a few people that had received it, and it made them really sick, and me being somebody that doesn't get sick ever, hardly ever, that didn't sound good, but I had also talked to people with Pfizer and that had gotten sick, and I know people that they didn't even register a blip on their immune system, so I talked to one of the pathologists, and just based on our conversation, I was like, you know what, I'll just get Pfizer because exponentially amount of more people have received it versus the Johnson & Johnson. I'll just do that, do two doses, miss some work. And so I went in, and man, I was nervous. I'm not nervous in needles at all. You can jab me wherever you want with a needle. I don't care. I've actually drawn my blood in my own hand twice, so it's not a needle thing. I was just wondering, you know,
I hate needles. I'm not. Oh, I'm just so. Oh, I hate needles or drugs. Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you.
It's funny how some people are terrified of that.
Yeah, I don't like them. Don't like needles. I don't like pain. I don't like people getting cut open, you know. No, thank you. But anyway, yeah. So what is the other one is was Pfizer supposed to be lesser of two evils? Is that what it's all about, maybe?
Well, I mean, it's all evil as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, you know, if you look at the Moderna, they're actually injecting, like, twice as much volume of stuff into you. And I think actually more is going into your body. I'm not positive on this with the Johnson & Johnson deal. In terms of volume of whatever is in those things. So I figured, you know, Pfizer, whatever, do that. So I went down there. I went down to Employee Health. And they were like, you sure you want to do this? You sure you want to do this? And I'm not visibly freaking out or anything. And I'm like, I have no choice. I'd lose my job if I don't do this. And I could tell that they were, she didn't feel pleased with me basically being essentially forced. I mean, ultimately not forced, but you're forced. I mean, what am I going to do? Be homeless or try and find a job? So I suck it up. I got my shot. I had to sit around for 15 minutes, went back up, and I wasn't feeling great a few hours after it. I don't know. I started to get like this weird headache, but it was like my whole head, and I get headaches, but I get them from dehydration, and
yeah,
it's usually
that's happened to me too.
Yeah, it's on the right side of my head, but this one was my whole head, and then it wasn't severe or anything. So I was just like, whatevs. So, yes, I have had my first shot. Now, to play devil's advocate, because I'm probably coming across as some anti-vaxxer that doesn't believe COVID is real and all that. Yes, I know COVID is real. I know people that have gotten it, and it is ugly. And it is real, it is there, it is killing people. I have validated with people that work in the hospitals, and yes, the majority of them are unvaccinated and all that, so it's a real thing. So, because I thought maybe the government was just saying all unvaccinated people, blah, 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 and then you're hearing conflicting information from Israel where, like, most of the people are fully vaccinated, yet they're dying of COVID and all that. So I just had to verify that. At least as far as we're concerned here in the state of Oregon, I consulted with one of my ex-coworkers, actually. And she's like, yeah, there's like, it's bad. They're like all unvaccinated at that particular hospital. And I'm like, yeah. So once I heard that, I started to feel a little bit more okay with getting the shot. You know, so that's where we stand. Now, I will definitely be giving an additional report after I have my second dose, which apparently is the one that's really going to make me sick, potentially. So we'll see what happens with that second one. If it makes me like really sick or kills me or something like that, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, is it really vaccines? I mean, there's a question, too. Is it really vaccines or is it gene therapy? That's, you know.
As far as I'm concerned, it's gene therapy. Typically, when you think, well, the CDC or FDA or whoever does that actually changed the definition of a vaccine, probably because of these new vaccines. Typically, when you think of a vaccine, you think of weakened or killed virus. They inject a weakened version of the virus or a weakened virus or a dead virus to build immunity. This is like your body is creating a portion of the pathogen. So, scary stuff. And this may be a great technology in the future. I mean, provided not everybody, you know, unless hopefully not everybody catches like terminal forms of metastatic cancer and all that. And it could end up being really good for the future for as a new technology to treat and vaccinate and perhaps use it for other things. It's a pretty, pretty big experiment.
That's the problem is that there's so you know, there's both sides to it, but, you know, I'm not neither for, but, you know, how people can get really divided, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. It's like, that's a personal choice, you know. That, to me, is something personal. And to judge a person whether they're vaccinated or not vaccinated, you know, that's just something like, are you a Ford or are you a Chevy? What happens if neither, you know? are you Republican or Democrat? What happens if you're neither? You know what I mean? It's kind of weird. It's a lot of divisions, creating division, and a lot of weird things happening in this world.
And, I think the best way to protect yourself is to wear a mask, preferably at N95 or KN95. I don't know this. I'm not a scientist, but I should have caught this by now. I mean, when this was really big a year ago or whatever, I was in the hospital. I would occasionally be around patients. But when those specimens come down, I was the one that was handling them. I don't know how I have not caught this. And the only thing I can think of is I was wearing a mask the whole time. And I wasn't licking my fingers.
I think it's an individual thing. It's, you know, how your immune system is, and, you know, it's I think a lot of it is your immune system, you know, and how, and like you said, how close are you standing with other people? If people are sick or they're not feeling good, stay away. You know, people are really sometimes inconsiderate. They may not be feeling well, but they're still going to the store and infecting other people. If you feel like you've been around people that are sick, you know, stay away. Just not only for yourself, but for other people.
Absolutely. So anyway, I didn't want to get too deep on the COVID because we are all burned out from hearing about COVID. I know I am. God, every time I open my applications on my phone, 30-year-old dies or 10-year-old dies of COVID, and oh, it's a new variant. We're not, but you know, it's just new letters every week on new variants. And of course, the variants are, you know, more contagious. Have you noticed? Now, I think traditionally with viruses,
I don't know.
We hear about Delta, and there's a new one and stuff like that. I think historically, viral speaking, variants actually get less transmissive, but I don't know that to be a fact. But it's just like, anyway, I don't want to go too deep down this thing.
Yeah,
but,
it's crazy out there. Oh my gosh,
we live in a crazy world, and man, all the crime that's increased, all the violence. Just people
yeah,
are
I've
just.
I've been hearing this Abby Petito story. That's crazy too. You know, what do you think about that one? About her being missing and her fiance.
My own personal opinion, not to be heartless, is that why is this person plastered all over the news? People are murdered every day, and there are terrible things happening in this world. And this one female gets probably killed by her boyfriend. Why is this being shoved down our throat? Certainly there's more important news out there.
Yeah, that's what my husband said too. And what about, you know, what about the indigenous cultures? They're missing, they become missing, but they don't get the frontline news, you know, like, you know, her.
Yeah, I don't know how these are chosen. Like, you get just weird ones every once in a while that it's all you hear about until a big story comes by. Meanwhile, there's 15,000 other people that were murdered that you know, probably some that don't even get on the local news, but you get some one pretty white chick that disappears, and the next thing you know, it's like crazy. Can't get away from the news.
Yeah, it's just saturating the whole thing. It's crazy. Absolutely. Yeah, and he's on the loose, and I thought it's just, I don't know. yeah, absolutely. It is saturating the news.
Yeah, this is just, society just keeps getting crazier and crazier. What can you do?
Wow.
I know I had 2 days in a row. I have a long commute, an hour commute each way. Because speaking of which, next week we decided we were going to talk a little bit about my job, which is very interesting. because I now work in pathology. So we're going to talk a little bit about that next week because I just see a lot of disgusting things.
That's going to be really interesting to cover. I would love to hear about that.
Yeah. Just imagine all the disgusting things the human body can produce, and that goes through my fingers. It's disgusting. But anyway, we'll talk about that next week. So interesting,
that'd be awesome.
Interesting world we live in.
So it's been really a little bit crazy. But yeah, thank you for putting everything in perspective. Like you said, I mean, there's a lot of people that are missing. Why are they? Yeah, that you have to think about looking at the balance.
Yeah, I mean, I don't trust the media, and I don't understand why certain stories catch the eye of the national or international media, and then just get fixated on for weeks and weeks when there are countless, literally countless, other more interesting and heinous crimes going on out there that we never hear about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely. Wow. But, working in the hospital has probably its good and bad points, definitely.
I've worked in two hospitals so far. It's it's interesting.
I imagine. Yeah, I've been watching the crime scene cleanups. That's just a thankless job where these people go in after, you know, whether they're crime, whether suicides, homicides, you know, those kind of things, and they literally clean up the mess. Oh, my gosh. It's like a mortician. You have to really give them a lot of admiration because it's not a good job. It's a dirty job, and most people won't do it.
Yeah, there's a YouTube channel. I wish I could remember the name of it that I watch every once in a while. And it is these
Spalding?
Cleaners that go in. What's it?
Spalding, crime scene cleaners. They are.
That's probably it. Yeah.
Yep, they're out of Florida. They're based out of Florida, but they go to different places.
Yeah, that's probably the one I've seen. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, the level of filth and crimes and disgustingness. But I was watching an episode earlier today of Hoarders, which I found interesting.
Boy,
because
we watch the same stuff. That's crazy. No kidding. I watched that too.
There's this guy, I think it's season one, who's living with like thousands of rats, like literally thousands of rats. So you walk in this house and it's a carpet of rats everywhere. They're in the walls, they're in the bed, they're thousands, not a few, not 100, thousands. It's crazy.
Do you remember how many he started out with, though? Do you remember that in the beginning?
I don't, no.
He had 3. His wife passed away. He found her in, I'm not sure, don't quote me on it, either in the house or that he found her dead. He'd been married to her and loved her dearly. She had some heart problems, and literally when he found her, she was slumped over. Never got over her death. So what he ended up doing is, because he was so lonely, he ended up collecting 3 rats. I don't know how he got them or given to him. He bought them at the pet store. I have no idea. He started out with 3 rats, okay? So they were 2 females and 1 male, 3 of them. And what ends up happening in 2 years, that episode, if you're talking about the same one, in 2 years from 3 rats, they collected the people that were coming out, and they didn't kill them. They all put them in cages. They counted over 2,000 of them in that house.
That's just, and you know, the Hoarder shows comes in 2 parts. So you have that story, then you have the second situation. And this is what I thought was kind of funny. Maybe I'm heartless, but the second situation on that episode was a lady that's hoarding, and she's got 50 cats. And I'm thinking to myself, here's a lonely guy with 2,000 rats. Here's a girl with 50 cats. I'm like, these two should get together. Problem solved. You know, 3 months later, all the rats will be dead, and he's not lonely anymore.
Yeah, it just, I think what their intention is, well, this guy really, he really communes, and I have to say, this is, I don't know if you saw the aftermath, he got murdered in his house. He's no longer alive from what,
I didn't finish the episode. Okay, I'm going to go up there and finish it then. Well, spoiler alert.
About him. They found him dead. Somebody murdered him in his house. And the guy, I mean, you could tell. I mean, he was a little bit, I think he was a little bit overwhelmed, and he knew he had a problem, but he just didn't know how to deal with it. And so, yeah, a little bit sick. He should have been able to, you know, mentally off a little bit, but, you know, he used them as companions because, like I said, he was so lonely and couldn't get over the death of his wife. So, and he would never kill them. He would never kill them. He would lay in the room. I think it was one of the rooms. He said he had to wake up every 2 hours because they're crawling all over his face and everything.
The one commonality that I noticed with those episodes, and I haven't watched a lot of them, but they always blame their hoarding on some sort of traumatic event, and I don't understand that. If something traumatic happens to me, I'm not just suddenly going to become a hoarder. I don't get it. But I'm not a psychologist.
Sometimes it can. I can see that as something like, you know, as an example, and I won't name names, but I know somebody who's had a traumatic experience of their grandmother. She was always picked on, and she was collecting things, and she came out of the what do you call that, the war, you know, where you had to go, what is that, depression? Yeah, she was in the depression, and everything she had, she kept. And the family was making fun of her, and she would keep food that was rotten and things like that, but, you know, that was not normal, that part, but the fact was that she didn't have anything, so what she did collect it over the years, she hoarded it because she knew what it was like to not have anything. It's like obsessive compulsive kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can kind of understand that. You know, if you have nothing, then when you have the ability to have a lot of stuff, I guess I can understand that a little bit better.
Still, but wow, it makes you want to clean house, that's for sure.
I'm certainly not the cleanest person in the world, but I don't ever see myself hoarding stuff. I'm actually the opposite of a hoarder because I like to have I like to have the level of personal belongings that I can fit in a car. That's always been my modus operandi. But unfortunately, that has changed because I have a house now. So, of course, you have to have furniture and stuff. And it makes me uncomfortable to have so much stuff. I like to just be able to pack something up in an hour and be gone. And so I guess I'm the anti-hoarder.
Well, and especially when you're living with somebody, I don't know if your girlfriend's like that, but if she likes to collect things also, that doesn't make things easier either for you.
No, she's the opposite. She's worse than me, actually. She has less stuff. I'm comfortable having something I can fit in one pickup load. She's comfortable having what she can fit in a backpack.
No kidding. Wow.
Yeah, we're not. Huh?
You don't live with too much furniture, huh? Knickknacks and no.
No, not a lot. I mean, we, you know, the basic furniture, stuff on the walls, TVs, that sort of thing, and a fish tank. I have a big fish tank with fishes in it, and that makes me uncomfortable having it just because I don't want to have to move it. Pain in the ass.
How big is your fish tank? How big is it? Seriously.
It's 38, 39 gallons.
Oh, wow. Freshwater or saltwater? I have two of them myself.
Fresh water with sand, live plants, and driftwood, and this coral-type rock.
Ooh, nice. Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of my new hobby. I'll take a picture. It's kind of an old hobby that's coming back.
That's awesome.
So
what kind of fish do you have out there?
Just some tetras and then these glow fish that you get at like Petco.
Okay.
And some snails and stuff like that. Nothing terribly fancy. I'm actually kind of entertaining starting a saltwater tank because that would be kind of fun too.
Oh, you get the real exotic ones.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, saltwater tanks are beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, I've got my problem. I got a 55-gallon tank. I've got an algae problem. So I don't know whether it's I'm putting a little too much light on there or what, but I put some salt and I put some water cleaner. Probably about 2 days, I'm going to probably do another, well, today I did a 50% water change, but tomorrow I'm going to probably end up doing probably a 30%, you know, try to get the algae. Because I have an algae eater, but I think the light's been on too long. And instead of doing 12 and 12, you know, for 24, because, you know, my husband said, well, the more light you have, the more algae grows. And with the salt, with the fresh water, you know, but with the water that's being fed, it's not tap water. So it's spring water that's being fed into the tank, maybe it might, you know, it's promoting algae growth. So I got to figure out what to do. But I put hydrogen peroxide, that helps it, but it's just overgrowing too much algae, way too much. I used to have exotic goldfish, and they were dying because the pH level, and they weren't doing very well after a while. After 2 or 3 months, they would be sick, and it's just too much.
I haven't noticed any algae, but I have snails that eat the algae, so...
Is that true, the algae, the snails, they get over too much? Do they become, you know, they overtake the tank? That's what I heard.
That the snails overtake the tank?
Yes. You start with a few snails and they just multiply like crazy, like rats?
Well, I haven't seen that, but again, I've only had the snails for maybe a month and a half. I have had... In my old tank, I did have these weird cone snail things that came out of nowhere. It was nothing. I never put them in the tank. And, yeah, they multiplied, but it was never really a problem.
So what kind of snails do you have? Like regular snails? Is that what you have? Is that what you're having right now?
They're golden something. I just get them at Petco. They're kind of a medium-sized snail, and they're kind of cool.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, I have one fish, and that's it. That's all I want. I don't want to take any more on. Just don't want to kill them. I love the aquarium. They're beautiful. 38 gallons is a pretty good size.
Yeah, it's on a stand, you know, and everything. And, it, you know, it's just when you just – we live in such a stressful world that it's nice to just set a chair in front of the tank and just watch. You don't have to watch long, but just for a few minutes, just watch the fish. It's very relaxing.
Is your cat entertained by the fish?
Initially they were, but now they don't even bat an eye at it anymore.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so.
That shouldn't be an expensive hobby, but it's not too bad. You know, how often do you doing water changes, if you don't mind me asking?
Maybe once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
I get in there, I take out all the stuff, and then I use my vacuum and vacuum it. And then I usually take 5 gallons out and treat another 5 gallons. Add some plant nutrients, and then put the 5 gallons back in.
Okay.
And the tank's finally stabilized. Initially,
okay.
I had a couple die-offs, but every now that it's been a couple months, but I didn't do, you know, I didn't set the tank up really beforehand like you're supposed to. I just kind of got some...
you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some hardy fish, and actually all those original fish, I think except for one, are still alive.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and then I bought six neons, and three of them died, and I don't know why, but, you know, The other three are fine.
Those neon tetras are schooling fish. I call them schooling. They're like a community fish.
Yeah, I need to get a few more.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I've had, I've had Danny O, and he was aggressive. I've had angelfish. I've had Orondas, which are exotic goldfish. I've had lionheads, which are exotic goldfish. Yeah, they're hard. I would love to have one of those brown fish. I forgot what you call those things. Discus. But those are so fickle.
Yeah.
They're hard to keep healthy. They're like 40 to 60, depending on where you get them, they're about $40 to $60 per fish.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful. They come in different colors. But, like I said, they're very hard to keep. You have to have the right pH level. You have to change water. You have to have the right temperature. I mean, it's really high maintenance.
I had a couple. Yeah, the water has to be treated. They were great. They lasted. I had them years. In fact, they never died.
Really?
When I gave away my tank, I gave away the fish, and they're expensive. I think at the time they were, this is a long time ago, they were $20 a piece or something, a little more.
Expensive now. Yeah, easy, $40 to $60, depending on where you get them, like I said. But they're beautiful. They come in different colors. They're just really cute, really nice markings. So, but yeah, I'm glad you got some fish. So entertain them, and you got a cat. How's your cats doing? Are they doing pretty good? They're buddies and everything. They hang out.
Yeah, everything's. I guess I really just can't complain. Yeah, everything is good on the home front. You know, I have a long commute to work, so on a different subject, and I wanted to say that 2 days in a row, I almost got into major accidents.
Really?
And just to let you know, I drive like a grandma, like, seriously. I'm like Mr. Speed Limit. I don't break any rules, and the first incident was on the freeway. A semi just tried to run me off the road. Just merging, and I was not in his blind spot. He was doing this intentionally. And
oh, really?
For why, I don't
wow.
know, but he got within a couple feet of just taking me out. And then the next day, somebody pulled right out in front of me when I was going probably 45 miles an hour. And I slammed on my brake. They were pulling out from a side street, but they couldn't see me and I couldn't see them. Because it's a two-lane road, the right lane was all traffic, I'm in the left lane, they're trying to pull out from a side street, of course there's that traffic so they can't see anything. He pulls right out in front of me, and I'm going 45, and I slam on the brakes. I don't even have time to hit my horn. And I could hear from inside my car the passenger of his vehicle scream. And man, I almost just T-boned the shit out of them. And then I
wow.
just, he didn't even look at me, and I just was giving him the death stare, like, you son of a bitch. That
wow.
is such a, that is such a common accident where people just can't be patient. So they're crossing a busy lane, like where people are parked, into a live lane, and you can't see because you have cars in the way. And, yeah, I almost took him out.
Wow. He would have been hurt pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, I would have gone right into the driver's side door. It was a big SUV, so it was like a Tahoe. But you know, I got a brand new car, like literally a brand new car. So that would have sucked.
Wow. So you would have hit the driver's or the passenger door if you would have
the driver's side.
The car.
It would have been right in the driver's side.
Wow.
And I was within a few feet of hitting him, and just like, because people don't pay attention, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true. That's very, very true. Yeah, you got to be alert, and you better off going slow. But yeah, we've had a really good thank you for sharing. Good thing. Awesome.
Well, I had all that stuff on my chest I've been meaning to talk about since I haven't been on in a few weeks, and hopefully that didn't bore everyone out there. But next week should be interesting. We'll talk about a little bit about what is pathology. What do people do that work in pathology, and some of the sick things that you can encounter? It's very, very interesting.
I sure like to talk about it. I've always been, that's probably why I'm in Chinese medicine, because I've always been intrigued by, you know, medicine, you know, whether it's Chinese medicine, whether it's allopathic medicine, it's all to help people, you know, become well. And, you know, it's really interesting. Even when I was a child, I always looked at, and those days, this is how old I am, but in those days, we didn't have color TV. We only had black and white. So I would get up early in the morning. I'm not sure if it was Saturday or Sunday morning. My parents would sleep in, and I would get up early either Saturday or Sunday morning and watch true surgeries that were in black and white. Love this stuff. Even when I was a child. I was probably like 6-7 years old.
Good stuff. Well, Sherry, it's about my dinner time, and I actually have to get up early because I work early. So I guess we'll wrap it up and thank everybody for listening. We'll see everybody 7 p.m. next week for our special on pathology, and hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. So unless you have anything else, Sherry?
No, it was good. And the whole, to be honest with you, the whole hour went by pretty fast. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, it went fast. We kind of bounced around a little bit, but hopefully people found one or two of those stories interesting. And with that, I got to find something to eat because I'm kind of hungry.
Well, I've already got my thing in the oven, so I'm ready to go and eat.
Not me. I got to go find something.
I'll think about you, though, Jason. Okay,
alrighty.
See everybody next week. Go ahead and follow us on Facebook. I'm Paranormal Horizons. And if you see a subject that you want us to discuss or talk about, go ahead and just message us, and Jason and I will go and get back to you. And in the meantime, stay well, stay safe, and, hey, take care, everybody. Love you guys. Peace.
Good night, everyone.